Welcome to the Calvary Chapel South Bay Sermon Podcast. We are a large, multi-ethnic, multi-generational church in Los Angeles, California, and we'd love to have you visit us for a service if you're in the LA area. Visit ccsouthbay.org to learn more about us and to find out service times. If you have any questions, shoot us an email at hello@ccsouthbay.org. Enjoy today's sermon, and we hope to see you at church soon.
The sun's rising on a really crisp Jerusalem Sunday morning. There in the upper room, the disciples, they're fast asleep, tucked away in that upper room where they held the Last Supper, probably really concerned that the Pharisees are coming for them next. If you have your Bible, the story's recorded for us in John's Gospel, chapter 20. These ladies, they are the ones who took care of his need during his lifetime. They were the last at the cross, but now they're the first at the tomb. They came with spices to perform the Jewish rituals of embalming the body of Jesus. And on the way there, the earth began to shake, almost preparing them for what they were going to see. When they got to the tomb, the stone had been rolled away, nothing of what they were expecting. Overwhelmed, one of the ladies, Mary Magdalene, she ran back to tell the other disciples what had happened, as the other ladies, they just lingered a little bit longer, wondering what in the world is going on. They stepped into the tomb. They saw an angel. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified." That's what they said. "He is not here." Church, listen. They said, "For he is risen just as he said." Have you ever doubted God's word? Have you ever thought quite possibly that God's word didn't apply to you? That's exactly what the women thought. When Jesus said that he would rise again, they doubted his word and didn't believe it was for them. Well, Mary Magdalene got Peter and John, and they ran back to the tomb, and Mary Magdalene, she ran along with them. They stepped inside, and they saw the empty tomb, and the Bible says that John believed, and then they went back to their homes. But Mary, overwhelmed with agony, she stayed at the tomb just a little bit longer. Only 3 days before, she had watched him die. She saw where they buried him. She watched the stone be rolled into place. Now, she's convinced that someone has stolen the body of Jesus. And she's wondering, where in the world is he? She can't even see because she's so weeping. Mary's grief was so overwhelming with her seeming loss. I mean, think of who Mary was. She had been delivered from seven, a complete demonic influence in her life. And her life had been totally changed. Whose life has been totally changed by Jesus Christ? Just say amen.
Amen.
Totally changed. Her family had changed. Her life had changed. In Luke chapter 8, she left Magdala, and she then followed Jesus, and with her wealth, she was a very wealthy woman. You see, Magdala, where she was from, it was kind of like the Morongo outlets as you're on your way to the desert. This was the place that you bought everything that you wanted for cheap. And she was a great saleswoman. And out of all of her earnings, she's now providing for the ministry of Jesus. That's Mary Magdalene. This was Mary Magdalene who followed Jesus all the way to the cross when every other disciple just forsook him. Mary, the mother of Jesus, John, the disciple, they knelt at the foot of the cross as they were hurling insults at Jesus. She was devoted. She was committed. Her loyalty surpassed them all. And in John chapter 20, would you take a look there at verse 11? John chapter 20, if you look at verse 11, "But Mary, she stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him.'" with all of her commitment, Mary's having a struggle of faith. Have you ever struggled with faith? Have you ever been like Lisa and a loved one passes on suddenly? Have you ever been diagnosed with something, wondering what in the world is going on? Have you lost your job? Have you had a prodigal son or daughter in your life? You raise them in the church and you're wondering, what in the world? That's where Mary's at. She's having a struggle of faith. And her struggle as faith is based in the fact that her perspective of the resurrection was wrong. You see, though she'd been delivered, she was just learning about the power of the resurrection. And though she had followed Jesus so faithfully, she didn't understand the power of the resurrection. And though she'd given her whole life to Christ, she'd been in church ever since she gave her life to Christ. She's now sad. She's weeping. And she's unable to see what's right in front of her, the power of the resurrection. I mean, she had the privilege to see an angel, and the Bible says there in verse 12, they were in white sitting. This word in white, it's not that they had white clothes on. This word in white sitting means they were glowing, they were glittering, they were bright. So just imagine, you go into the tomb and you see this. Glowing. Now you're laughing, but Mary completely missed it. Imagine you walk into the tomb of darkness and you see someone glowing like this. Would you just miss it? Mary did. There, right in front of her, there was a guy that was glowing, and she completely missed it. And then he looks at her and says, "Why are you weeping?" You see, their perspective was so different than Mary. While she is weeping, they're rejoicing. I'll never forget when I asked my wife to marry her, marry me. She didn't marry herself. She married me. It was September 1st, 1993. And on September 1st, 1993, they threw a surprise party for me. But the real surprise was that it was an engagement party and Andre didn't know. But I was so nervous, I was acting dumb. And I ignored her because I didn't want to say it to her before I said it to her. The ring was in my pocket. I didn't know what to do. She got so frustrated with me at my birthday, she wanted to leave. So she went to my mom and she goes, "I'm leaving the party." And my mom was like, "You can't leave, but Chet's being such a pain. I don't want to be here." And my mom was like, "You've got the wrong perspective. He just doesn't know how to behave. He's about to ask you to marry him." So then I didn't know what to do. So then I went to her. I got down on my knee. And I said in front of everybody, "Will you marry me?" It took her a second because she was so frustrated. And then she said yes. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in such a state that you can't see what's right in front of you? That was Mary. She couldn't see the glow of the angels. I mean, Mary, she'd heard 3 times that he was going to rise again. But there she is looking at a glowing angel and she's wondering, "Where did you take the body?" She lost all hope. She was in total despair. She'd allowed her circumstance to determine her behavior instead of allowing the power of the resurrection to give her strength to rise above. That was Mary. You see, she feels someone just insulted her. "I just lost my friend. I just lost the person that I worked for. I just lost Jesus. And you're asking me, why am I crying?" You're overlooking the power of the resurrection. So the Bible says she stooped over. She was weeping without measure. Now, let me describe this weeping for just a moment. This is a weeping whereby not only a shedding of tears, but she's so overwhelmed with grief I'll never forget the moment that I walked in the house and I saw my mother when she heard that my little brother died. She literally fell over the couch in grief. I believe I saw in my mom what Mary was experiencing on the cross, there at that tomb. She was weeping. Now, while we know that Jesus had risen, she didn't. We're blessed to have the end of the story, but she was there living in the midst of it. And then would you look at John chapter 20, verse 14. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, didn't see him, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I'll take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Would you stop there for just a moment? Do you hear the questions of the Lord? Because these questions reveal the wisdom for those of us that are struggling with the power of the resurrection. The first question was, why are you weeping? Why are you living your life in the wrong perspective? Why are you living in despair? Why are you living in hopelessness? Why are you living in the place that there is no answer? Why are you living in such discouragement because of your situation or your experience? Why are you living in the wrong perspective? You see, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, Paul made it his life to know the power of the resurrection. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Paul made it his life's pursuit to know the power of the resurrection. But you need to understand, this word "know" is not informational. It's not like he just gained knowledge. This word "know" is the word experience. He wanted to experience the power of the resurrection in his life. And might I say, church, many of us know there was a resurrection, but do we experience the resurrection in our daily lives? Or do we live in the weeping cycle of the struggle of sin? Oh, not just in the world, the sin of sickness or the sin of someone hurting you or the sin of your boss that's constantly on you and you've got to deal with it at work. Are you living in that place of misery? But just what about your even own personal sin? Do you feel powerless to overcome? Are you weeping in powerlessness? However, have we believed the lie that we can never change, that it will always be like this? I ask you the same question, why are you weeping? And maybe you've not experienced the power of the resurrection in your life. And like Mary, it's right in front of you, but you're so overwhelmed by your own emotion, you can't even see what Jesus has done for you. The very next question that Jesus asked is this: whom are you seeking? Mary was looking for a dead body. She wasn't looking for a risen Lord. But church, Jesus is not dead. Amen. He's alive. We clap. But can you speak that into your personal situation? If you're not married and you want to be, can you speak that Jesus is alive in that place? If you don't have the job that you wish that you had, can you speak Jesus is alive in that place? Church, listen. If you're disappointed, frustrated, life hasn't turned out the way that you think it should be, are you willing to speak Jesus into that situation? Whom are you seeking is the next question. Mary was walking around as if she's looking for a dead body when the Lord was alive. Can I ask a question? What does your faith look like? Does your faith look like you're serving a dead or a risen Savior? Because let me tell you something, in the 21st century, It is time for Christians to rise up.
Amen.
Politics is not our answer. The school system is not our answer. The government is not our answer. Jesus Christ, risen from the grave and the power of the resurrection, is the answer that the world needs for its loneliness, for its sadness, and for its discouragement. What does your faith look like? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, as he is alive, as he is, so are we in this world. Church, he's not dead. And maybe the church should come alive. Maybe the church should wake up. Maybe the church should realize that we've got a responsibility because Jesus is alive. And the business of Jesus is to seek and to save the lost. And may I remind you, faith without works is dead. It's dead. And in John chapter 20, verse 16, the Bible says, Jesus said to her, Mary. He called her name. And immediately, Mary knew exactly who it was. Do you remember when we didn't know who was calling us on the phone? Do you remember rotary phones? Some of the young people are like, no, what is that? Is that a new iPhone? Is that like iPhone 4 or 5? I mean, we're in like 13, 14 now, Chet. We don't have rotaries. Do you guys remember rotaries? Do you remember it was like 1? And then when you had to do 9, it's like I got to go all the way around. And then someone would call you and you didn't know who they were. Their name didn't pop up on the phone. But if it was your mom and she was calling, she didn't have to tell you this is your mother. You knew her voice. And if it was your father and he was calling, you knew his voice. My dad had a voice that when we were in a crowd, as soon as he said, Chet, let me tell you something, brother. I ran that voice with that tone. I ran to my father. He said, Mary. And she rises up when Jesus called her name. And the Bible says she clung to him. Jesus said to her, look at verse 17, do not cling to me, which means she was clinging. For I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Hey, church. Mary was learning the power of the resurrection, but now she's beginning to experience it, and something begins to change in Mary. She goes from weeping to rising up and to clinging onto Jesus. And can I tell you something, church? By his Spirit, he's calling your name right now. And he wants to reveal to you what you're looking for. He wants to communicate to you how your faith can go from powerless to powerful. It's the power of the resurrection. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. In other words, when the power of the resurrection is actually experienced in you, the life of Christ will be flowing out of you. Anger says goodbye. Frustration says goodbye. Jealousy says goodbye. They just got the new Tesla I wanted. Goodbye. Moving to Arizona because everybody else is. Jealousy. Goodbye. I love my little California. And trust me, you'll move back because it's hot there. Let me tell you, you go ahead. Go to Tennessee. Wait till the state bird bites you, the big mosquito. You'll be back here in just a minute. We always think the grass is greener in the other side. But with Christ, we're content. We have all things. You see, if the Spirit of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection is in you, you're filled with love and joy and peace. You're actually friendly in the parking lot. You come into church and you want to speak to someone. You go into your world and it doesn't matter if they're mean. The power of the resurrection is in you. Hello, mean person. God bless you too. That's the experience of the resurrection. Life is no longer knocking you down. You are taking life by the horns and bringing it down. That's the power of the resurrection. So Mary rises up and she clings to him. Mary, she had lost him once before. She's not losing him again. She had lost him once before and she's holding it on. And Jesus says, don't cling to me. Let me tell you what he's saying. Don't hold on to this body. What a word of wisdom. What a word of wisdom from the Lord about the power of the resurrection. Because Jesus was no longer going to be physically present with them or with us. We're called to walk by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of the resurrection, the Spirit of God has been given to us. Jesus was forging a new relationship with Mary. Don't hold on to this body any longer because I'm not going to be here. Don't hold on to the physical. I need you to live in the spiritual. And as believers, we need to walk in this wisdom. Listen, Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 5, he says this in verse 15. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, walk wisely, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Bad things are going to happen. Take it by the horn. The power of the resurrection is in you, church. Because the days are evil. Bad things are going to happen. Therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled, say it with me, with the Spirit. Now, let me tell you what happens when you're filled with the Spirit. Jesus looks at Mary and says, go tell my brethren. Let me tell you something. The church has put women down long enough because the first apostle, according to the Bible, was a woman. Mary, go tell the disciples. She became an apostle to the apostles. She was the first one given the power of the Holy Spirit to go and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus told her, go tell my brethren. She was called by name to be a witness to the power of the resurrection. Jesus made it clear to his disciples that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them to be his witness. And now Mary, in the power of the Spirit, understanding the power of the resurrection, she's no longer weeping, she's running with joy. Hey, church, each of us are called by our name to witness the power of the resurrection in our lives. You can just remove Mary's name and put your name in there and hear Jesus tell you, go tell my brethren I'm alive. Go tell my brethren. Now, here's how you do that. We testify to the power of the resurrection with our changed lives. Lisa's not walking around, I've got tumors. She's going on mission trips. Lisa's not walking around, I've lost my husband. Though the grief stings, she's one of our most faithful volunteers, migraine and all. She's made a decision, despite my pain, I'm going to live in the power of the resurrection and not give my body any excuse not to do what Jesus has asked me to do. Church, what about you? You look at Richard and Sylvia, well, I can't go on Fig and minister to prostitutes. Who told you that? The devil. He's trying to keep you silent at work, silent at school. He's trying to keep you silent in your neighborhood because he knows once you let loose with the power of the resurrection in your life, LA will be saved for Jesus Christ. We testify of the resurrection by our bold speech, not just our lives. In Colossians chapter 4, the Bible says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Redeem the time. Let your speech always be filled with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. Did you hear that? That you may know how to answer. Unbelievers don't understand Christianese. So when someone says, how are you? And you respond, praise God, glory, Jesus, hallelujah. They don't get it. They don't get it. But if you know how to respond in the power of the resurrection, when they say, how are you? How are you? And let me tell you a story today. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Let your speech always be seasoned with salt. That's the power of the resurrection for the believer. Now, I have found in my life the greatest fulfillment in losing my life. I have found in my life that Lisa's not just up here doing the show, because I've watched her for years live the power of the resurrection. Her son is now my assistant. He lost his dad. And he's walking in the power of the resurrection. Now, you might think God can't use me. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Let me tell you why. Because he used the disciples. Jesus said, go tell my brethren. Disciples had messed up. Not only didn't they trust his word, they all forsook him and fled. One of them fled buck naked. You heard that on Friday. And at one point in their ministry, they were operating in power, casting out demons. Now they're hiding in an upper room. The ladies went and said, he's alive. They didn't believe. They're in the middle of their own faith crisis. Have you ever been there? Have you ever struggled? Now Mary is sent to them, and Jesus says, go tell those losers. No. But I think we think Jesus thinks that about us sometimes when we mess up. Jesus said, go tell my brethren. What a word of comfort. Because of the resurrection, we're family with God. Let me tell you something about family. Blood is thicker than water. Family don't ever quit on each other. Because when I'm in trouble, do you know who I call? Family. You see, the power of the resurrection is able to use those who have messed up, because he forgives our sins, he cleanses our soul, and he uses even our testimony as a powerful witness of the resurrection to save others. Church, let me tell you something. He knows what you need. He's brought you here this morning because his promise of the power of the resurrection is available for you. And church, it's time for you to rise up. Mary did. And so did the disciples. And Jesus used the very ones that disowned him, the very ones that were living in fear, that once they went from the knowledge of the resurrection to the experience of the resurrection, their lives were completely changed. He's calling you this morning to be a witness of the resurrection. Hey, church, I'm speaking to you. Does your faith look alive? Have your prayers felt distance? Has your devotional life been hindered? And you just feel like, well, God's in heaven and I'm on earth. So there's a little distance, a little gap there. But there's a promise. Listen, church, he says this, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. That requires a step of faith. Church, I'm speaking to you. Are you still weeping? You know the resurrection. Is it just informational, or is it an experience in your life where it has transformed you? Goodbye, pornography. Goodbye. Goodbye, extra girlfriend. I wasn't looking over here like, I don't want anyone to email me and say, goodbye, addiction. Goodbye, anger. Goodbye, frustration. Goodbye, lust. Goodbye, jealousy. And I know the resurrection, but today I'm going to experience it. And I'm going to let the power of the resurrection take me from the place of weeping to the place of rejoicing. Now maybe you're here going, I'm not a Christian. My mother dragged me here. And she said that I wouldn't have to pay rent this month if I came. Oh man, I got a bad story for you. You may have gotten out of rent, but the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that's true. And maybe you don't know Jesus, but today you need to know him. So here's what I'm going to do. Jesus said, I want to give you the gift of eternal life. It's a gift. You don't have to work for it. In fact, I take mess ups. In fact, I'm in the business of it. That's why I died on the cross. I know you're a mess up. I know you couldn't do it. So I did it for you. I paid the price of your sin. And I'm going to open this altar. And church, I'm speaking to you first. If you need to move from the information of the resurrection to the experience of the resurrection, you be the first to get out of your seat and say, today, I'm moving from a dead faith to a faith that's alive. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, then would you follow the church and come to Jesus and make it right? And as Gannon sings this song, and I know it's early, you get up out of your seat. You meet me here at this altar. Pastor Pat's going to be here with me. We want to pray with you as you today, like Mary, get up from that tomb and go and be a witness. And you're going to be a witness here in this church. You're letting everybody know, I believe in the power of the resurrection, and the resurrection's going to make a difference in my life. If that's you, you know it's you because the Spirit's calling your name right now. He's saying John. He's saying Sally. He's saying Richard. He's saying Sue. He's calling your name and you can feel him calling you. Then today's your day. Get up out of your seat. Meet me here and let the power of the resurrection change your life forever.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you have any questions or just want to check us out, make sure to visit us at ccsouthbay.org. God bless you guys, and we'll see you next week.